You may remain seated for the reading of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We consider our text, which comes from Psalm 48, the first in a part of our series of psalms that we'll be considering in our sermon studies this Easter season. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. This is God's word. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. In Jesus' name, dear Christians, I don't suppose any of you have been counting, but how many times have we said the word hallelujah already in this service so far? In the last hymn, if you count the alleluias, which are really just a shortened form of hallelujah, it is over 20 times that we've already sounded forth this song of praise. You noticed it after our gradual between the two scripture readings where we sang hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's part of the Lutheran liturgy that we do out of the red hymnal. And the makers of that liturgy thought it worthy of shouting this song of hallelujah every service. But how many of us know what that word actually means? Well, when you go home today, you can tell your friends and neighbors that you've learned a Hebrew word, because the word hallelujah is Hebrew. It's Hebrew for praise the Lord. It's what the word we find starting and ending the psalm that we just read. Praise Jehovah. It's actually hallelujah, which is the word praise, and Yah is a shortened form for the Hebrew name Jehovah. Praise Yah. There is good reason for us, along with all creation, to sound forth these words. Hallelujah. When I was away to Eau Claire this last week, my parents introduced me to a show on the Discovery Channel called Frozen Planet. And it was amazing to see these cameramen go into the Antarctic and observe God's creation that perhaps has never been recorded on film before throughout the history of the world. In the frozen tundra, there lives a whole other world of God's creation. Maybe you've seen The March of the Penguins, for instance, that movie put together where it documents the penguins' journey and breeding and return back home. While we sit in our cozy homes during the winter months, these penguins journey some 60 miles or more to breed in the warmer climate of the Antarctic. And then we find that the males are joined with the females. The males stay to incubate the eggs that have been laid, and the females have to travel back the 60 miles, some two-month journey back to the sea to find food. Then they come back and return it to the males and feed the youngs which have hatched. Then the males have to journey another 2 months to get to sea and receive food, and they lose some 2/3 of their body weight. All this miracle of God's creation going on virtually unknown to our daily life. It might be a frozen planet, but it is anything but dead. How is it that penguins praise God? How is it that our psalmist says for the hills and the mountains to praise God? How can the sun and moon shout hallelujah? We read, "Let them praise the name of the Lord," verse 5, "for he commanded and they were created." Praise is all about giving honor and credit to that higher attribute, that greater thing. The creation shouts praise simply by being here. By being here as God created and intended for his creation to function. Evolution cannot silence this shout. We're witnessing it every day, especially at the time of spring, when every spring new life comes forth as trees bud and it seems as though they're reaching up to the heavens to give God praise and honor. He commanded and they were established forever and ever. How many of us can claim such obedience to God's commands? As God was creating the world, the creation of this nature we see didn't fail to follow any one of his words. They came forth just as he intended. They did exactly as he commanded. That was until man came along. Therein, where man came into the picture, we noticed an interesting difference. Because man was that one creature with the ability to choose between praising God and praising himself. The freedom between life and death. He didn't operate like natural science that simply is here as God intended. No, Adam and Eve had a choice, and they chose to praise themselves. They chose death. Isaiah 38 says, "For Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth." This was the death that was injected into all mankind. No longer could man sound forth praises, for we were all spiritually dead. We were all inclined to praise ourselves. So God had to do something. He had to create new life. Jesus' resurrection came to conquer death and to enable you to really praise God once again, to connect you, to give you life. The Hebrew word hallel, as we referred to before, most basic meaning is to shine. We shine forth that great light more than all the rest of creation, for God sent his Son to save not the hills or the mountains or the birds, but to save you. Verse 11, "Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young and old." The resurrection of our Lord has blossomed new life among us. Even more than the tree that buds every spring, God is pleased to see new life coming forth in your spiritual existence every day. Praise, shouts of hallelujah. We have good reason to shout. But this doesn't mean that we're smiling all the time. Think of hallelujah more so as continuing faithfully to acknowledge what God has done for you. That's what the creation has done, and that's what we do. That means, in the midst of calamity, you continue to march, as those penguins do, through frozen tundra, through difficult terrain, and that's how you continue to praise the Lord. It's not all smiles. It's going with God's will, acknowledging Him as your Lord, who has won you back from death and set you on that path of life and righteousness. Let all creation shout, Hallelujah. As that word means, to shine, to praise God, your witness becomes like a spotlight. And what are you shining your light on? Your witness is a spotlight on God's name, a name which is above every other. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. Sometimes we define God's name as who He is and what He does. That is, God's name is more than just letters and syllables and sounds. His name is what He does, what He's all about, His reputation. For instance, my name is David. I'm a pastor, a father, a sinner, and a saint. But the name David doesn't describe all those things. There's so much more to it. God describes Himself and gives us His reputation in His Word. So His name refers to everything about Him, all our expectations of what He can do for us. This is what we spotlight, who God is. Martin Luther, in his explanation to the Lord's Prayer, where we pray, Hallowed be your name, says, what does this mean? God's name is certainly holy all by itself, but we pray in this petition that we would keep it holy also. You see, Martin Luther understood that God's name doesn't need anything from us to be exalted. As the psalmist says, His name is exalted. All we are doing is acknowledging what that name is all about. What could we add to God's name and reputation that He doesn't already have? Thinking of a name as a reputation. What is our reputation? What is our name all about? What kind of praise do we really deserve when it comes down to it? Is our reputation unreliable, dishonest, untrustworthy, impatient, or rude? Who we are and what we've done is far from deserving of praise. Not just outwardly, but in our attitudes, our actions. As Psalm 10 says, the wicked boasts, that is, praises himself of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. Actually, this is where there's a distinct difference between you, the believer, and the unbeliever. The wicked boast literally causes himself to be praised based on his sinful desires. But the believer doesn't do that. The believer is sick of his own sinful desires. He doesn't want the spotlight on it. Rather, he wants to shine the spotlight back on Christ, on who He is and what He's done. We read of God's saving name from Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples, for His merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. Who He is, the God of truth. The steadfast God who does not go back on His word, who assures us, as we read from 1 John, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what He does, He saves. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Our praise, then, is in God's name alone. Hallelujah. He has exalted the horn of His people. While I was watching that episode of Frozen Planet, I happened to see a pack of wild wolves come upon a herd of bison. And I marveled as this pack of wolves crept up on the herd of bison and chased them down and attempted to take down a fully grown bison. But I was even more amazed to see in the midst of this stampede another bison behind him come up, and with horn lowered, he scattered all the wolves and ran over that bison that was being attacked and plowed right through him and kept on going. Well, that's the picture of this horn that we find in our text. The horn was a symbol of strength and power. That same power that I saw in that bison plowing through the wolves and even another grown bison is spoken of. And also in Psalm 92, "My horn you have exalted like a wild ox." Yes, if you've ever seen a rodeo competition, you know what I'm talking about. God has declared that he has exalted the horn of his people. That is to say, the strength and victory of God's people has been given to you. In fact, symbolically, the horn of God's people is best pictured in Jesus Christ, because therein we find the strength, the power, the victory, as he has scattered the wolves that are trying to attack you, your sinful flesh and your past, the curse of this world. As Zacharias said in Luke chapter 1, "He has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation." With more power than that bison, God has conquered all your enemies and declared victory. And it's often at times where you are struck by the most difficulties, the tragedies, when this horn is exalted the highest. It's at times when you've been bitten by a grievous sin, or when you are stampeded by tragedy, that this horn then is exalted, as God's steadfast love endures forever, giving you the strength you need to endure, as God calls you his own special people. He keeps pulling you back, drawing you nearer, so that you can shine forth his praises. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and exalt his name together. Join me, dear Christians, then, in exalting God's name, in shining forth his praise. May the Spirit give us strength to witness before the world of this great glory of our God of all creation. May he lead us to speak of his truth to others, and may we join with all creation with that shout, "Hallelujah." As Peter says, "You are a chosen generation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness." Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.